Good evening. I left here a few minutes ago. I'm going out there, and a few men stopped me and said, "You're going the wrong way. I'm supposed to turn around." And I know that it's Doug who set them up to that. He thought I was leaving. He always reminded me of the first time I was here, a long time ago. The first time I came here, they were so impressed with me, they gave me a blank check. Seriously. By the time I got home, I had about 6 phone calls trying to track me down. It's like the red phone they have in the White House there, you know. Guys were worried, so I guess I haven't been that impressive since, because it never happened again. So good to be with you, beloved, and we're going to go back to where we left off this morning in the second book of Chronicles in chapter 7. It's the condition of revival that God laid down to his people. Verse 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Verse 17, "And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and mine ordinances, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel." And we dwelt this morning on the fact that Israel were the people of God. They had that special relationship with God. God called them to be a people of his own. They were a people that were called by his name. Not only were they called, but they were a covenanted people. God made a covenant with his people. He made a solemn promise and a binding agreement with his people. And they were a consecrated people. God made them a holy people unto himself, set apart, consecrated for himself. If my people. But that was not only for Israel, beloved. That was for us as well, the church. We are a called people as well. Remember Paul the Apostle said, he said, "When it pleased the Lord, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Called by his grace, called to be saints, or called saints, that's the church, that's the body of Christ. We also, as the people of God in the church age, we are a covenanted people. We are under the new covenant. And Jesus spoke of the new covenant, for each covenant was ratified by blood. And when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "This is the covenant in my blood." This is the covenant in my blood. Covenant ratified by blood. You and I, beloved, redeemed by his precious blood. Called saints, redeemed by blood. We also are a consecrated people. We are a people of his own. Peter writes in his epistle that we who were not a people are now the people of God. We who had not obtained mercy have obtained mercy. God brought us in through his matchless grace, and he has set us apart for himself, sanctified and set apart for God. He has made us a kingdom of priests. So Israel were, they were originally, and in context, beloved, this is written to Israel, they were the people of God. But today, all blood-bought believers, all members of the body of Christ, we also are the people of God. But is the next thing he says, not only my people, but those who are called by my name. When we understand that, beloved, we need to understand that we represent our Lord. We are called by his name. That's what we represent here on this earth. And sometimes the world look at us and they judge what a Christian ought to be, because when you say you're a Christian, you bear the name of Christ. Called by my name. You know, when Paul and Barnabas were there laboring at Antioch and they took note of them and establishing that church there at Antioch, they looked at them and they wondered what they represented, and they wanted a name. It was not a term of endearment. It was a name they wanted to lay on them that they could identify them. And it says the believers at Antioch were first called Christians because they reminded them of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ ones. It was a nickname, as we say today. But it was a name that represented our Lord. And these men and that church there at Antioch represented Christ. In the same manner that Peter and John, when they went to persecute them because of this great miracle which the Lord had done through them, they said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. My people, called by my name, called, covenanted, and consecrated, set apart for God. God laid down the conditions there to King Solomon, the conditions of revival. In the event that the people of God would stray, in the event that the people of God would disobey and turn to other gods, there is that strong possibility that the Lord would send locusts, the Lord would send things to discomfort them. And God says, in the event that this happened, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. Those were the conditions of revival for Israel. It's no different today, beloved. If we want to see revival, then God's people must take the lead. I'm afraid we are looking in the wrong direction for revival. All we are doing is complaining about conditions. We are complaining about leaders, where they're leading us. We are complaining, and we are following, and we're not leading the way. We're not leading the way to godliness. We are not saying we have sinned. When Nehemiah wanted to rebuild the walls, he himself did not take part in the sin and the idolatry that caused them to go into captivity. But he prayed to the Lord, and he said, I and my father have sinned against thee. He identified himself with the people of God because he was part and parcel of God's people. You and I, beloved, we have to take the lead. We have to identify ourselves with everything that has gone wrong. The Lord Jesus sent us to evangelize. He said to us that we are the salt of the earth. He said to us that we are the light of the world. And yet we are following. We are following darkness. We are following leaders who don't even know the Lord. And we are taking our cue and our orders from ungodly men and women. My people, you are called by my name. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, the people of God called by his name. In 28, this is what it says in verses 9 and 10, beloved. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see, and thou shalt be called, or called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. You know, where I grew up a long time ago, one of the things you would always hear, especially when you have a tendency to stray from the family values, when you have a tendency to follow what we call back then bad company, you would be called and you would be scolded, severely scolded. And among the things they would tell you, you don't go out there and disgrace my name. Somehow the people back then was zealous of their name, of their reputation. You see, when you go out there and you mess up the family name. And that's the worst you can do, because you'll hear about it for a long time. You would get the beating that you deserve, and you get a beating and a sermon at the same time. You mess up the family name. You disgrace our name. You don't do that. God is saying, you are my people, and you are called by my name. It's a privilege, beloved, but it also is a responsibility. You don't take it lightly, called by his name. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7 says, verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone who is called by my name, for I have created him. For my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. This is Israel's future. We saw this morning that for a time, God had said to them, you are not my people, there in Hosea. You will not experience my mercy. You will be scattered. And they were scattered. And at one time they were exposed to their enemies. They did not experience the mercy of God. God had wiped them away in a sense that he had disowned them. But we saw when it says in Romans that God put them away for a while that he might bring them in again, he might regather them. And this is Israel's future, beloved, because God will gather them from the ends of the earth because they are called by his name. They are a covenanted people. They are a called people. And then there will be a consecrated people called by my name. You are my sons. And God is going to regather Israel. He's going to bring them back to the land that he had given to Abraham by covenant. He's going to bring them back into a place of favor. You who were not a people, now the people of God. You who had not obtained mercy, have now obtained mercy. That's God's promise. That's God's purpose. And God is able to graft them in again, as Paul reminds us in Romans. God is able to bring them in again. 63 of Isaiah in verse 19. It says, "We are thine. Thou didst never bear rule over them," speaking of the heathens. "They were not called by thy name." We are the ones who are called by thy name. And I like what God said to Moses to instruct his brother Aaron in appearing before him there in Numbers in chapter 6. We also use that a lot, but I like what God says, and I want to read it in Numbers chapter 6. We know part of it, the benediction. We use it as a benediction as well. And this is what it says in Numbers in chapter 6. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, in this way ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." My name, my name. The Lord is zealous of his name. He said to his servant, "Yes, I'm going to put my name there. I'm going to put my stamp of approval on this place of worship, this place of sacrifice. But if you mess up something, it's going to happen unless there is repentance." He puts his name on the city. He put his name on the people. The holy city, the city of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, called by his name. That's what Daniel tells us. I like to read that as well. That is so precious. God is zealous about his name. In Daniel in chapter 9, verse 18 says, "Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. And do defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name." You wonder why Nehemiah was in such distress as he inquired of the brethren that came. How are things back home? This is the city called by his name. How are things going? How are they doing, those who are left back there? And the bad news was, the city is left desolate. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. And the Bible says that he wept. And when there were those who didn't understand why he was so sad, he said, "Oh, is it no wonder to you that the city of my father's sepulchre lieth waste, the city where God was pleased to place his name?" Jerusalem, Israel, my people, called by my name. I go back to Isaiah because this tells us so much of the kingdom that's going to come, God's Christ's millennial kingdom, and his dealings with his people to come. But you know, beloved, Israel messed up so much, and so have we. We have messed up a lot in representing the name of the Lord, and we have caused on occasion others to blaspheme the name of the Lord, and that's something that we are accountable for. In Isaiah 52, verse 5 says, "Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? They that rule over them make them to wail, saith the Lord, and my name continually, every day, is blasphemed." That was God's complaint about his people. His name continually was being blasphemed. "Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who doth speak. Behold, it is I." My name is being blasphemed. When Nathan confronted King David and told him that he was the man that he was talking about, who had done all these evil things, and David could hide no more. Sin was exposed, and David said, "I have sinned." He said, "I have sinned," and he confessed his sin there before Nathan the prophet. And Nathan told him, "All right, God has forgiven your sin, but..." He said, "Beloved, there are consequences to our actions, you see. And God's forgiveness is always there once there is repentance. But he said, because of this deed, because of this evil, you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the name of the Lord by your actions." It's one thing to be forgiven, beloved, but there are consequences, because there are certain things that we cannot erase. Nathan told him, "Because of your deed, this thing that you have done have caused the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme." It's the same in the New Testament as well. In the book of Romans, Paul was talking to those who are pretenders. He says, "You profess to be Jews, and you are not. You profess that you are holy by your acts of circumcision, but that doesn't cut it. That's only outward." In Romans chapter 2 and verse 24, it takes more than outward appearance. It says, For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." It's not just outward. You're not just outward. You see, we have to back it up with our life, with our lives, beloved. It's got to be a lifestyle that corresponds to our profession. And so the word is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." There's got to be the godly living. Not only are we called, not only are we covenanted, but we are consecrated. We are set apart for God. We are sanctified. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, that he might sanctify us and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works. Let me get the time straight here. My people, called by my name. Wouldn't it be something special if people can just look at you and say, there goes a Christian. That's a Christian. Called by the name of the Lord, not by anything you say, not by gathering here, but by your conduct, by your manner of life. Called by the name of the Lord, as was the saints at Antioch, first called Christians, because they were like Christ. They were like Christ. And that's our responsibility, beloved, not only to talk about Christ, not only to say we believe in Christ, but to live the life that is set apart for him, called by his name. Our actions, beloved, is more important than what we say. Our lifestyle, our conduct must be as becometh the children of God, as becometh the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God said to Israel, you got to humble yourself. You got to pray. You got to seek my face. You got to turn from your evil ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive your sins. Then will I heal your land. Don't look for the politicians to take away the lead to heal our land, beloved. It begins with godly living. You and I must take up the cross and follow Christ. You and I must be like the Apostle Paul, not identified with the high and mighty, not identified with the politicians, but identified with Christ when he said, henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know I belong to him. You know, a slave belonged to a certain owner because he bore the brand marks of his master. Paul says, I bear the brand marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. John in his epistle says, beloved, now are we the children of God, 1 John chapter 3. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the children of God. Now, we talk about in the sweet by and by, that's coming, but now are we the children of God. Now we represent him here in this wilderness waste. Now we are the lights of the world. Now are we the salt of the earth. My people, called by my name. Do we understand the responsibility of being called by his name? Often we see the slogan, we see even young people wearing it, oh, what would Jesus do? That we need to go beyond that. How would Jesus respond? How would Jesus live? These days, we don't want to imitate Christ because it's weak. We are soft. They would tell us it's not cool to show love. It's not cool to show compassion. It's not cool to show empathy or sympathy. You're getting weak. But I read of my blessed Lord Jesus on more than one occasion, on multiple occasions, when he saw suffering, when he saw the people, he was moved with compassion. Because he saw the multitudes not as those not having a shepherd, sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved with compassion. Called by his name, let us imitate him. Let us follow him. You know, the Lord Jesus, he addressed seven churches in Asia Minor there in Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. Seven churches. But I like what he said about Philadelphia, beloved. The city of brotherly love, the church that manifested love. He said to them, amongst other things, yes, you're weak. You have little strength. Not weak, you have little strength. But the commendation came when Jesus said to them, thou hast not denied my name. Wow. Wow. What a commendation. You live in this world, this hostile environment, and he said, you have not denied my name. Oh, what a commendation. Could it be said of us? You have not denied my name. I have a word for those who claim to be his servants and to those who claim to be his prophet. And a lot of them out there, you have heard them, because I'm not the only one that look at television occasionally and sometimes too much. That's my confession to you. You know, but there's a word for these people, because they're not the first. They're not the first. These charlatans I'm talking about that says, God said to you to tell them to tell me to send them $1,000, and they are lying. God said, I haven't told them that. They have prophesied lies in my name. If you send your $1,000, kiss it goodbye. It's not going to do any good, but make some people rich. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23 and 25. I thought I'd wake you up with that one. I don't want anybody going to sleep here on me. Huh? I have heard, Jeremiah 23, verse 25, I have heard what the prophet said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the hearts of the prophets that prophesy lies? They prophesy lies. We got to watch out for these false prophets, these charlatans who only want to line their own pockets for their own benefit. They don't have the interest of God at heart. But they're going in the name of the Lord. Going in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, we're going to meet again. We're going to meet again one day. And they're going to say to me, have we not prophesied in thy name? They have prophesied lies. The Lord said nothing of the sort. 27. Yeah, for the sake of time, chapter 27 of Jeremiah, verse 15. I always think of this when I hear them. You know, when I see the television, and instead of having like John 3:16 on the back screen there, I see credit card. I see American Express. I see. Oh boy, what's the rest of the MasterCard and the rest of it? Wholesale simony, that's all it is. It's simony, it has nothing to do with the gospel. It's all about money. Shame. 27 and 15. you don't get involved with that. You don't send your money, so I'm preaching to the choir here. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets who prophesy unto you. They prophesy lies. The Lord did not send them. The Lord did not give them a message for you. Why is it always about money? It tickles my ears when I hear them say, well, we talk a lot about money because Jesus talked a lot about money. They left out one thing, that you didn't always talk about money in a positive light. You never hear them say, well, no man can serve two masters. Either he will despise the one and he will cling to the other. He will love the one, he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If you hear that from one of these charlatans, tell me, can't serve God and money. Oh, his name. Oh, we sing it so often. His name is wonderful. And Bill and Gloria Gator wrote, there is something. There is something about that name. The Lord reminded his people that they despise his name. There in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto the priests that despise my name? And he say, in what way have we despised thy name? They say the same thing. They say the same thing today in chapter 4 and verse 2 of Malachi. Excuse me, I'm winding it down, beloved. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up like calves of the stall. You that fear my name. You know, we have all these fancy titles that we give to human religious leaders, and we hear them claiming to be the right reverend this and the right reverend that. And I read in my Bible that reverend and holy is his name. I see the Lord Jesus taking his disciples when they needed to learn how to pray. And he said, after this manner, pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. God says, my glory will I not give to another. Holy is thy name. Remember that when you get down to pray, you start with worship, recognition of who God is and by what name you are called. It's a holy name. And God's message to Israel and his message to us, be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves. Humility, beloved. We don't have to be proud and arrogant. Humility. Pray. Get on your knees. Things are bad in the world. Things are bad in the country. Yes. Get on your knees. Lead the way. Pray. Seek his face. Instead of the overthrow of the government, seek his face. Turn! The country is going to be turned around. It's going to be turned around by the godly, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God says, that's when I'll work. And then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive your sins. Then will I heal your land. I won't get a disagreement if I say, well, our land needs healing right now. Then will I heal your land. That's the path of revival, beloved. That's the path of return to the Lord. Good to be with you. Thanks for a wonderful day. Thanks for your love and generosity and hospitality. Thanks for having us. God bless his word. Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for bringing us together, first of all, to remember our Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of the bread and drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. We thank thee for giving us the privilege of opening thy word and sharing with the people of God the things that are required of us, the privilege that thou hast given us, and the great responsibility that we have to live up to our calling, to the covenant, that solemn agreement, and to our consecration. We give you thanks and ask thy help and blessing, that thou wouldst enable us by the blessed Holy Spirit and by thy matchless grace that we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life that he might sanctify and redeem us and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works. We give thee thanks as we ask thy blessing and parting. Watch over us, O Lord. Take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. And remember the brethren here and all the events that are scheduled. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, the saints would be edified, and sinners would come to know him whom to know is life eternal. We pray and give thanks to thee in the name of our blessed Lord and our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.